God reverses our standards and crushes our pride. Pride, you see, separates us from the goodness of God. Pride is something that separates us from one another. And striving for the best seat in the best place will ironically leave us outside of the best and in the least honored place. And that's true in the kingdom of God. But the opposite is true. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. How do we know this is true? Think of the one who did this, who humbled himself. He became the servant of all. And he humbled himself to become obedient, to follow the plan of the Father, even to death, and to face death on a cross for us.
The following message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. August 31st, 2025. Luke 14, verses 7 to 14.
Maybe you've noticed that manners aren't quite what they used to be. You used to have people reading the etiquette columns in the newspaper like Emily Post or reading books by Miss Manners to know exactly what was proper and what was expected. Now you not only see elbows on the table and the wrong fork on the wrong side and people not using their napkins properly, but you'll see people driving down the road as they chow down on their burger. And you'll see people really out of place with the wrong fork on the, well, you get the idea. We're actually more laid back now, aren't we? People aren't quite as concerned about many of those etiquette rules that they once were more concerned about. And yet, why are those rules there? This idea that someone named Emily Post needs to tell me how I'm supposed to conduct myself, or that Miss Manners knows the best way to behave in every situation. Aren't those things there to help us to just avoid embarrassment? Those social moments where we like them in the movies and TV shows, those awkward moments that bring interest, but for us in real life, we begin to cringe because we're doing something improper. Aren't they there to avoid that embarrassment? It might seem, as we read from Luke 14, like Jesus is putting on his Miss Manners hat and simply telling us how to behave in polite society, as he gives directions on how people are supposed to respond when they come to a banquet. And yet he's doing far more than that, as we see him bring it to a higher spiritual plane. And we'll look at that and consider what he means for everyone and how we hold ourselves before others and conduct our lives. And we see that as we look at the words once again in Luke chapter 14. Jesus is at the house of a prominent Pharisee who's invited him to this place across the Jordan in Perea, not too far from Jerusalem, I'm sure. And it doesn't really say exactly who this man was, but I'm sure he was a highly influential man if you read about the guests that are at his banquet. And probably he would have been one of the members of the Sanhedrin, that ruling body of the Jews who held a high position, the very ones who condemned Jesus. And so you can guess this man and his guests, some of them might have had high regard for Jesus, but many of them probably looked down on him. And in fact, it says as Jesus ate with them, they were watching carefully, observing everything he did. Scrutinizing might be a good way to describe it. Only as they scrutinized God in the flesh, living among his people, he was watching them. And it's described here what Jesus sees. He noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table. Can you picture them flowing in to the house and each one coming to the table and finding exactly how high they could go? Maybe in our society we don't quite relate with that, because you show up at somebody's house, usually there's not a higher or lower position to sit. We don't really operate this way in our society when we have guests. But maybe you're somewhat familiar with it, how we sometimes at a wedding banquet may have what's called a head table. And at that head table are supposed to sit the wedding party, and sometimes they'll even put names for exactly where each groomsman or bridesmaid are supposed to sit, and their places of honor and dignity. It's kind of like that. Only in the ancient world, you didn't have someone like Emily Post telling you exactly where to sit. And they didn't have assigned seats when they showed up at a place like this. So you can probably picture it led for some rather awkward or sometimes even comical or embarrassing moments as people showed up and they tried to determine exactly where they sat according to their position as a scribe, a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin, just a tradesman, a servant, an outsider. And they would take their seat, hopefully the right one. But Jesus sees how each one of these guests are trying to be distinguished and take for themselves the highest seat. So he tells them a parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, don't take the highest place. That is, don't lean and incline toward the head of the table, or in his society, it would have been the left end of the cushion where you lean. Don't take that place of honor near the host. Because if you do, someone else might come along who also was invited. And the person who invited both of you might say to you, give him your seat. And then it comes. The embarrassment, the shame as you have to go take the least seat, the one that everyone else left behind. Why is Jesus telling us this? Obviously, this is a dignified crowd. These Pharisees and teachers of the law, these friends of this high-standing man, they knew the basic etiquette. I'm sure not all of them were trying to take the very best seat. Who would do that? This is such obvious advice, such obvious mismanners advice from the Lord himself. But he's leading us to an obvious point. Everyone there would say, of course you don't take the seat of honor. And then he takes it to the next level. He says, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus is not merely teaching us how to survive in society and be polite. He's teaching a spiritual point, using that extreme illustration of taking that high seat and taking that lowest embarrassment, the exchange of places that you know will happen. Well, we know that's the exchange that will take place before God if we seek and strive in pride to come before him and to assume that the place that is ours is one we've attained by our own right or position. I'm sure that these men, if they were scribes and Pharisees, had taken their places thinking that they deserved it, not only in the crowd, but before God. After all, Jesus says, the teachers of the law love to take the best seat at banquets and in the synagogues. And once again, in God's house, that's the front seat, just so you remember. But what about not just the cliche, taking the best parking spot or the front pew at church? How does our life play out? We might look at this advice and say, well, does my mindset follow through that I'm striving for the best? Of course not. I'm pretty humble. And yet I reflect back on my life and I see the times when my twin brother and I had no higher position. I was not his elder. I was just his brother. How many times we had to divide a portion, or how many times one of us had to take the lesser half and I ended up with the bigger half. And I was perfectly content to take it. Or I reflect on my own offspring pulling off the same. Who is going to be the first in line, have the best portion? And maybe you see it in your life, worrying and wondering, will I get what is due me? What is due us is the least place, the scriptures make clear. And if we think in any manner or form or way that because we come to God's house for worship, or because we sing his praises, or because we contribute to the support of his kingdom, that somehow we are more valued or important or have a higher standing with our God than others, we're mistaken, because Jesus says, anyone who exalts himself will be humbled. In the end, he says something that we only can believe by faith. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Can you picture Jesus as he's invited to this house of people scrutinizing him? How they did not afford the author of life, the Lord of all, the highest seat in that house. But he probably was teaching this from one of the lower places, and not speaking out of spite, but to instruct an important truth. God reverses our standards and crushes our pride. Pride, you see, separates us from the goodness of God. Pride is something that separates us from one another. And striving for the best seat in the best place will ironically leave us outside of the best and in the least honored place. And that's true in the kingdom of God. But the opposite is true. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. How do we know this is true? Think of the one who did this. who humbled himself. As the Apostle Paul says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. The Son of God, stooping down to wash his disciples' feet. Though a king and their Lord and teacher, he became the servant of all. And he humbled himself to become obedient, to follow the plan of the Father, even to death, and to face death on a cross for us. Who was more humble than him? Who was given the lowest place more than this man, Jesus, the Son of God? And yet God, the Father, exalted him to the highest place and lifted him up so that everyone may praise the name of Jesus, the one who took the place of proud, arrogant, and striving sinners, so they might be lifted up, not just having their feet washed, but their sins washed clean by his blood given on the cross. This is true. Everyone who humbles themselves will be exalted, not by themselves, but by the God who reverses our expectations and in grace gives us what we do not deserve. And so Jesus goes on to add, as he speaks to the host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters or your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back and you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Who does this? Well, those who have been blind and poor and wretched before God, those who are unable to save themselves, turn around and in turn show mercy and love for those who are blind, poor, crippled, and lame. The kingdom of God turns everything around. The God who took us and invited us to partake of his kingdom and to feast at his banquet, to come before his table and have, together with the bread and wine, the covenant, his body and blood for forgiveness. He invites us into his presence. He invites us into his kingdom. And we were the once poor, blind, and wretched, unable to pay him back a thing. But he did this so that we, in turn, as his people, can show that same love to this world. You know, there's an account in the early century of history where this man named Pliny the Younger, he was serving as a governor of Bithynia. He spoke of the Christians and their habits about 50 years after Jesus taught this. And he remarked about how this spread and took place, how the Christians did not follow the etiquette of the Roman Empire. Instead, these Christians decided that they were going to elevate each other and consider others better than themselves. Pliny, the governor, described it as such a disgraceful thing that they were doing, that these Christians had the habit of befriending, not only befriending their slaves, but making them leaders in their church and giving them the highest place. He said they got it all wrong, and he despised it. But the kingdom of God is this: anyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. God did this through his Son to lift us up. And now, as the people of God, we consider all those around us better than ourselves. And in mercy and compassion and love of God, invite those who are poor, crippled, or lame, those who have nothing to give in return, and give them everything. Because that's what we have from God. You know, these are words that do cut the heart. Lord, forgive me for when I tried to exalt myself. But these are also words that heal the heart. The Lord lifts up, exalts the lowly in Christ. Amen.